A little bit of breaking Bruins news before we welcome in our guy Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston, and that would be that even though he was out on the ice for morning skate, Brad Marchand has been ruled out for Game 5 in Florida. Not good news for the Bruins. Not good news whatsoever. Let's get to some football, moving him up in the queue a little bit. Joining us now, Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston with Gresham Fauria. Tom, good morning.
What's going on, boys?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I had an appointment today.
Oh, okay.
Way good. Impressions from rookie minicamp were?
Joe Milton's got an absolute friggin' cannon. And that's what I began my notebook with on Saturday, because I think that most people would say, well, who cares? We know he's got a cannon. Tell me about Drake May. And really, from a shorts and t-shirts type of event, you really couldn't glean much in terms of Drake May. He was fine. He was as advertised. So that was my impression on Drake May. He's got a lot of work to do, as Gerard Mayo said. And you can see that he fills the suit perfectly. He's got a good way about him. He's got good enthusiasm. I believe all they say when they say, oh, he loves ball. But he's got a lot of work to do in terms of the footwork and accuracy.
Yeah, and that's to be, I mean, listen, he's 3 years in college, 2 years as a starter. I mean, that's all pretty much predictable that he has a lot of work to do. Like, you know, I had this discussion with, you know, with Gresh. I know Courtney mentioned this also, reading into the whole Mayo's line of he's got a lot of work to do. Like, okay, of course he's got a lot of work to do.
No, my whole point on it, Tom, just to kind of follow it up, was the reaction from the fan base would have been very different if it were snorty Bill Belichick saying it versus flowery Gerard Mayo saying it.
Which I disagree with. I disagree with that.
I think it would have been taken with, I agree with it, because if Bill had said it, Bill would have said that about virtually anybody. He would have said the same thing about Tom Brady in 2017 as he came into training camp after a practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tom's got a lot of work to do. We all do. But I think Gerard, instead of first focusing on the things that he was doing well, to say he's got a lot of work to do, it seemed an effort, whether it was orchestrated or not, to just tamp down expectations. Maybe he's observing it and saying, okay, there is a lot to work on. And I think that's wholly appropriate, embraceable, and the best way to go about it. Because he has to be realistic. And I posed a question to him about his footwork and the criticisms of it and whether or not he sees the same thing. He's got to be realistic about the fact that it's a merciless profession, as you know, Christian, and it's a merciless, you know, media market, fan base to deal with. People don't want to hear rainbows and unicorns and everything's okay and Jason Tatum saying, wow, people expect too much from us. We can't win every game by 25. People don't care about the travails of how hard it is to be here. Just play well and don't, you know, be realistic about the things you need to work on. I didn't mean to, you know, jump into that basketball reference, but I heard the difference between Jaylen Brown's commentary last week and Jason Tatum's, I think, is really interesting, especially as it relates to this generation's athlete, in terms of Tatum was asking for sympathy that people have high expectations and Jaylen Brown was holding the Celtics' feet to the fire. And I think it's good to hold people's feet to the fire. They should. They need to.
Well, okay, so the other thing I thought was interesting, and again, lots and lots of just I would call him first, Tom. Like the whole, like the Patriots rookie minicamp just ended, and they take a big group picture, which I thought was kind of cool. Like, you know, probably look, there's a lot of freaking guys in this picture, and everybody seems real happy and real excited, and everybody's wearing their normal number, the number that they will wear, you know, when the season starts. Just an overall, again, different philosophy on how things should go. I think the difference is something that we're going to be talking about the entire year.
Yeah, and I don't think that anywhere else that would stand out as unusual. Like, they didn't have logos on their helmet. I don't know if that's an equipment manager thing or if it's in your logo situation. but I think that there's a lot of things that are just normal, everyday, unremarkable activities that the team will engage in that are such a departure from the unconventional way in which Bill did things in terms of large things and small things that couldn't possibly have made much of a difference. I think the attention to detail at times got a little excessive. The things he didn't really have to get on maybe were, you played there, Christian. I mean, the attention to detail is celebrated because of the things that the team was able to do on the field. And I also think that there's attention to detail paid that I'm like, what's it's an exercise in futility or just micromanaging.
Yeah, real quickly, though, before Gresh jumps in, I saw Troy Brown in this picture. I thought, for some reason, I thought he had left trying to be like at least he was interviewing for the Arizona State wide receiver job. So he's still on the staff?
Yeah, he's currently listed as
roving coach.
Yeah, kind of.
I don't know what the title is, but that's really what it is.
Yeah, he just walks around with a script in his hand and like smacks his hand
on the roster. On the roster, he's listed as a working with kick and punt returners and basically ball handling.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. That's a what a way for I mean, I don't know. That's a career trajectory for Troy or anything like that. Tommy Curran with Gresham Fourier. Hey, he's around. Yeah. That's the big thing. Like he's around. So it's like Seinfeld. I'm there, and then I'm there for you, and then there you go. And then you're just there, and maybe that'll be Troy Brown. Hey, Tommy. Whenever I get into the whole talking back and forth about Drake May and do you put him in early? Do you not? The first thing I keep going back to is who the hell is the left tackle? Right now, as you see it, Tommy, I know they're going to try to flip Wallace. I'm not as bullish on that. Do they have a left tackle? Do you think they're still on the hunt for one? Or are they okay with kind of what they have with the O-line group at this point here in almost June?
I would hope that they're not okay with it. Anything on their roster offensively, they should still be kicking over every rock, evaluating every opportunity, and left tackle is a primary spot that they should. You know, remember when Cam Newton was signed at the end of June, it was later explained to me the reason they signed him then as opposed to March is Bill always wanted to improve the roster however he could or create competition. And in March, they didn't want to do that with Cam Newton, because he would have been immediately the presumed starter. But he's still sitting there at the end of June. And they're like, well, at least bring him in to compete. And they did that, and he came in and competed with Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham and won the job pretty quickly. But that's a long way of saying that the Patriots and every team in the NFL is still going to look to improve competition at every spot. If there's a left tackle who has left tackle experience as opposed to a Okorafor signed from Pittsburgh as a free agent, then they should go get him. But I would imagine, Gresh, it would be a Okorafor as your starter until Caden Wallace does what Drake May has to do with Jacoby Brissett. Beat him by knockout. Whew. Beat these guys by knockout. Shouldn't that be the way it is?
Well, yeah, even with the quarterback situation, I know the biggest debate now is whether or not, you know, what type of philosophy are you? Are you, you know, sit the rookie quarterback no matter what, even if you think they're ready, or you know what, true competition, if he beats out Jacoby Brissett, he should start, even though your offensive line may not be right, even though Alex Van Pelt may not know, might be, you know, perfectly ready for the job. Where do you sit on that?
I don't think you're going to have to worry about it, first of all. I don't think he's going to pose, I just don't think Drake May is going to pose a competent threat to Jacoby Brissett before the end of August. He's going to have better days. He's going to have days where you go, wow, Jacoby can't do that. But in terms of, and this is, again, May, I can't wait to watch more practices so I can have evidence to the contrary. But right now, you got a guy who's got footwork and accuracy problems, who made some head-scratching decisions last year in college and went 1-4 in his final five college games coming to play in the pros. He's not going to beat out a seasoned NFL player who understands what the answers to the test are and what all the questions are as well.
So if I say to you, if I say to you, well, Mac Jones did it, what is your response to that?
Yeah, that's because Mac Jones was taken in the first round because he was able to do that, because Mac Jones had that. That was his superpower. Drake May's superpower isn't a genius mind and an understanding of where it goes all the time. That's why Mac Jones was able to start. Additionally, Mac Jones' competition was much, 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 much less than what Drake May's competition is going to be. I mean, Cam Newton threw for 8 touchdowns and 12 picks in his one season as a starter. It was obvious on day 2 or 3 of training camp, that it was not a fair fight between him and Mac in terms of getting the ball out on time and accurately. And it stayed that way the entire camp. That's why no one expected Mac to start. But why did he end up starting? Because it was no friggin' contest. He was so much clearly the better player. I don't think that's going to happen with Drake May.
Yeah, I also think, too, that Mac Jones got drafted into a fully formed coaching staff that knew what they were doing, that were ready to hit the ground running, that had a proven offensive system, that had a guy who installed offense before as well and understood how to deal with the young guys. Because, Tommy, I keep coming back to Drake May ain't touching the field early for me because the coaches have to figure out what the hell they're doing the first 8 weeks of the year.
Yeah, I mean, how often did Bill or Josh McDaniels or Tom Brady talk about when things hit the fan for us, we had this backlog of things we could pivot to that we had experience having used in the past. Like something goes bad, you know what, why don't we just pivot to this thing that we used to do? Well, there is no backlog of stuff on this Patriots team. They don't know. They just opened the box, put the parts out on the floor. They have no idea what to do if they run into an issue, which is really, as Brian Hoyer and so many other people articulated so great about the 2022 decision, was when the Patriots' offense ran into problems in 2022 and guys wanted to know, well, what happens if this? They couldn't be provided with the answers because your offensive coaches didn't know. That was the biggest problem, was their inability to understand where the landmines were and what they would do when they stepped on them.
Completely with you on that. Tommy Curran, thank you, friend. We appreciate it. And we'll catch you Thursday with Jones and Mego. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, and you, and you could, we're about to give away some tickets. So if you want to call back when you hang up, it's a 2 for Tuesday. I want to go see a Red Sox game. Just say, letting you know, Tom, in case you want to go to a game. Yeah.
Boy, do I.
See you, Tommy. That was great.